It is truly wonderful to know that in this world full of darkness, the greatest power of all, our Father God, is able to work through his children to bring light to the darkness around us. If, of course, we are not afraid to shine, to surrender to his power, and to enable the reflection of his love to the world around us. Each of us can develop a list of dark things in this world, either from our own ups and downs in our own lives, to the evening news, or even some Facebook post. But the way we respond to darkness is important. And it sounds trite, but by letting our light shine, showing the best way we can that God is here with us, that will expose darkness and knock it down.
We heard the Hawk Nelson song last summer, and it really struck us because we thought the analogy to diamonds would be appropriate to what we could be as Christians. And if you think about a diamond, it takes a great deal of heat and pressure to create the strongest stone possible, and then it takes a master craftsman to then change that into something that is a very unbelievably valuable and rare jewel. Nothing sparkles or shows light like a diamond. And there are two optical properties of a diamond I think are relevant. One is that they have very high luster, which means that they reflect a very high percent of the light that shines on them back out. And the second is that they have high resolution or fire. And as our scientists here would know, that means that the light breaks into spectrum of colors very uniquely in a diamond. So again, nothing shines or reflects quite like a diamond. And so the question then was, how is that relevant to us? Well, diamonds are beautiful because they are the best at reflecting the light that hits them. And we are instructed to be God's light. And if we think about the verse in Matthew 5 and 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the room. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, and importantly, praise your Father who is in heaven." So we're a reflection of God's love and his light. And just as a diamond disperses the white light into the colors of the spectrum, we collectively work together to ensure that God's plan is executed. We don't see the overall plan from our vantage, but each of us with our own color or talents contributes to the great masterpiece. I liken it to this photo. We saw this incredibly beautiful diamond necklace when we were in Hong Kong last year. Check out the price tag. It clearly is a masterpiece, and it took a masterful jeweler to put it together. So just like the individual gems of this masterpiece, we are his instruments, and we don't know in terms of what the master plan is, what our role is, but we reflect different lights in our different talents to bring the whole plan together, and we each have an obligation and responsibility to be part of that. So we reflect his light in different ways, but it all works together. In Ephesians 4, 4-8, it says, "You are all called to travel on the same road, and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness, but doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given our own gift. We can't see the overall plan or pattern, but we can bring our abilities to reflect his light so that his whole pattern works according to his plan." So there are a couple of other applicable points about diamonds. First, diamonds are valuable. They are precious gems, as is every human being. We're told in Genesis 1 and 27 that we are created in God's image. And then in Matthew 10, we're reminded that God knows when a sparrow falls, and he knows the number of heads on you. Hairs on your head, and are we therefore not much more valuable than sparrows? So each human being is valuable as a gem, irrespective of our status that we are accorded in the secular world. We're told in James 1 that religion that Father accepts is to reach out to orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I like what the message says in this passage. It says to reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. I think the watch out for many of us is that we are inclined to reflect our light inside our cloistered little group. And I think our challenge is, as his children, to shine the light where there's darkness, where there is no light, where even the smallest amount of light can darken a dark place. I mean, we have grandchildren, when they come to the house, we put the night lights on in the hallway. It's very, very dark, but that one little night light sheds light and direction on the whole of the darkness. And so we are lights to go out into darkness, not to stay cloistered in our own little group. And I think the other message for us about diamonds and being strong is often we feel that we're unworthy. We're not capable of doing something. And I think our opportunity is to understand that we are strong, we have God's strength in us, and we are worthy, and we are capable of doing things. And we have to remember, we don't have to do it. We just plant the seed, and God gives the increase. And so we should be emboldened to let our shine light shine, even if we may not feel that we are particularly worthy. We might still be a little dull, if you like. And the last point I would make about diamonds is they don't just happen. It takes heat and pressure to form a raw diamond and the master craftsman's handiwork to create the end product. Our journeys as Christians will not be easy. They won't be easy street. We'll have our ups and we'll have our downs. But we have to be open to his involvement with us. In his infinite wisdom, God knew that we would need help in order to be able to reflect his light and has given us a tremendous set of supports. First of all, he sent his only son, who humbled himself to die so that we have a chance to be saved. Secondly, he sent his Holy Spirit, who strengthens us and intervenes on our behalf. Third, he sent his word that we can study and take instruction from. Fourth, he sent us each other as a support group to help strengthen us. And finally, he gave us prayer so that we can talk to him and bring our troubles to him. So all of these things play a role to strengthen us and to help us grow in maturity to better reflect his light. So he loves us irrespective of our weaknesses, and we may feel dull some days, and he wants to draw near to us and to enable us to reflect his light in the world that so desperately needs his light. The Ephesians are instructed in from chapters 4 to 6 to grow in maturity. And I'm using the message. And in Ephesians 4, 15, 16, it says, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. And in Ephesians 4 and 30, we're instructed not to grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit, moving and breathing in you, is the more intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. And then in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, God is strong, and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you can stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you're still on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You will need them through your life. So we're each a work in progress. Each day, however, represents an opportunity for us to provide light, however small, to each person that we encounter. It doesn't take a lot of light to brighten a dark space. We should never underestimate the power that our Maker can use to leverage our actions.
One second. Let me just review the reading once again to get it back into our minds. Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So what is the Lord's will? Matthew 22, starting in 34, tells us to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is easy, not, as the young folk tend to say. But if we attempt to live this way, we and those around us will be blessed. Let me read Matthew 22, starting at 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." In Philippians 2, we are instructed to consider others better than ourselves, and in other words, be humble and kind. Let me read Philippians 2, starting at 1. "If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, which you must do, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In Acts 9, starting at verse 36, we have mention of Tabitha, a female disciple of Christ who was doing God's will and highly respected for her Christ-like love. Acts 9, 36. "In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which then translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor." Back in the 1970s, and there will be some people who remember that, the Bee Gees wrote a song that was obviously meant to be a romantic statement of love between a couple. But from a spiritual point of view, it says much about today's society in that nobody gets too much heaven. Fortunately, I will not be singing any of this song, but I'd like to read a couple of the first two verses. "Nobody gets too much heaven no more. It's harder to come by. I'm waiting in line. Nobody gets too much love anymore. It's as high as a mountain and harder to climb." Our world needs more heaven on earth, and it can be enhanced by our attitude and demonstration of love towards others. It won't solve all our troubles immediately, but it will help. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is the Lord's Prayer. And it asks us in verse 10 that your kingdom, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Christ intended us all to make our lives here on earth more heavenly, to reflect future days in our spiritual life here on earth and in the hereafter, obviously.
So just to repeat some of the lyrics of the Hawk Nelson song, "I'll surrender to the power of being crushed by love till the beauty that is hidden isn't covered up. Oh, it's not what I'd hoped for. It's something better. He's making diamonds out of dust. He's refining in his timing. He's making diamonds out of us.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.